Well, Maestro Yoel Levy with the Cleveland Orchestra for very good reason here this afternoon. I just made the trip, and the music of Sergei Prokofiev, his Romeo and Juliet, the Dance of the Five Couples. It is Mark Wigmore here, the Oasis on the New Classical FM, and our look at arts and culture. Welcome to Cleveland Week here on the Oasis. It's a chance to learn about our American Great Lakes neighbor to the southwest and your chance to win a wonderful stay with a hotel, tickets to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, museum and gallery passes, and more. So be listening for entry details in just a few moments. Now, I just made my first trip to Cleveland, Ohio, a five-hour drive from Toronto to Cleveland. It is the most populous city along Lake Erie, and it's the home to major cultural institutions, including the Cleveland Museum of Art, the Cleveland Museum of Natural History, the iconic Cleveland Orchestra, part of the original set of Big Five orchestras in the American Northeast, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a worldwide destination. The city's major league professional sports teams include the Cleveland Browns in the NFL, the stadium right along the shores of Lake Erie, the Cleveland Cavaliers, which was home to LeBron James for many seasons in the NBA, and the Cleveland Guardians, the number one team in the American League Central Division within Major League Baseball. And a reminder, the Blue Jays dead last in the AL East. Now, I, for one, was particularly interested in seeing a game at Progressive Field, the home of the Cleveland Guardians, as well as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But I was delighted to get a much better understanding of the city thanks to the good folks at Destination Cleveland. That includes inventive cuisine at bustling restaurants, the iconic West Side Market, exploring the popular Flats East Bank Entertainment District, where the Cuyahoga River meets up with Lake Erie, the pedestrian-friendly East 4th Street Entertainment District, which features great shopping and restaurants close to the arena and ballpark, and the arts and culture hub of the University Circle, where the museums and the botanical gardens are located. I was amazed at the city's history, design, architecture, and culture, but also the great tourism destinations and Cleveland's current reimagining of the downtown area. So, this week, a series of interviews with a selection of the cultural leaders I met on my summer trip, and your chance to win a wonderful stay in the city. To enter, simply send me a note to our email address. Here it is. oasis@classicalfm.ca. Let us know you would like to experience Cleveland in 2024, and we'll put you in the draw at the end of the week. Let's start with the Cleveland Orchestra, part of that Big Five collection of orchestras from the American Northeast that also includes Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston, and New York. The Cleveland Orchestra was founded in 1918, and the ensemble has performed at the iconic and acoustically marvelous Severance Hall since the early 1930s. The current music director is a maestro we talk about regularly here on the New Classical FM, Franz Welser Most, the famed conductor. He's been with Cleveland now for over 20 years. I had a chance to speak with the current president and CEO, also Canadian, André Grémier. André, welcome to the New Classical FM here in Toronto.
Thank you, Mark.
Great to have you along. I'll start by asking something we did just before I made my trip to Cleveland last weekend. Is we have a theme every Friday on the air where we provide a theme and people come up with music. And we decided, since I was going to Cleveland, that we should focus on the classic Big Five orchestras of the Northeast. That's a really incredible legacy. I mean, from your perspective, looking back, talk a little bit about that legacy and how it sits now, all these years later.
Sure. I mean, I think it's important to mention that what we've called traditionally the Big Five is really now the Big Seven, you know, because you have to include orchestras like Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Sure.
Perhaps more importantly, I would say that, you know, it was always more of a marketing label than anything else. I think each orchestra is vastly different than the other ones. And I think, you know, the only thing we really have in common besides our size is that we're great American orchestras. I think more perhaps relevant is what it means to be the Cleveland Orchestra and what this has meant for the city and for the music world for, you know, well over a century now. You know, what we have here is very special. There is an incredible legacy, even precedes George Zell. You know, traditionally, people think of the Cleveland Orchestra's kind of beginning as a great orchestra as being Zell's tenure. But if you listen to earlier recordings, you can hear that this was already a really fine orchestra before Zell brought it to the, you know, to a much higher level. So this is an orchestra that is vehemently looking forward. And I think that's one of the traits about this orchestra. It doesn't rest on its laurels, keeping an incredible culture of excellence, of humility, if I may use some of these words that come to mind when I think about the legacy of this orchestra and the culture of this place. And frankly, you know, my job, among other things, is to make sure that we keep building on this and that we never take this for granted.
Speaking of 100 years old and just about, your music center is beloved in your city and still a place that people love all these years later, opening in 1931. Tell us about your home.
Absolutely. It's a remarkable space, first and foremost, and you can't dissociate the history and the excellence of the orchestra from the hall where it's played. As we all know, the hall is an instrument itself, and all the characteristics that you associate with the Cleveland Orchestra's playing, you know, from the incredible ensemble playing, the chamber music-like approach to music, the subtleties of the sound, all of this is possible because of Severance. We now call it Severance Music Center, the entire building that is comprised of two halls, Mandel Concert Hall, which is the main hall, and Rheinberger, which is a beautiful chamber hall of about 400 seats right underneath. Mandel Hall, the main hall, you know, a little bit under 2,000 seats, which was renovated in 2000 very well, is really one of the world's great concert halls. Very often when Europeans come to Cleveland for the first time, they are truly shocked because they associate this kind of hall mostly with Europe and not as much with America. It's a very lush building, if you've seen it. Beautiful lobby, beautiful in the hall itself. Most importantly for us, it just has incredible acoustics. I mean, you can hear absolutely everything in this hall. And when soloists come from the first time, they just marvel at what they can do.
Let's talk about this last season, some of the highlights for you, and then maybe looking ahead to see what your goals are in the years ahead.
Absolutely. The 23-24 season was, in many ways, the first true season, you know, back to normal following the pandemic in terms of audiences being fully back. And we opened with an especially remarkable weekend of concerts with Daniel Trifonov, with Franz Welser-Mertz, our music director, on the podium. Daniel played the first Brahms concerto, the D minor.
I should point out, too, that your conductor, I don't think it was that long ago that he took on the Vienna New Year's Day concert. Is that right?
Correct. So yeah. Franz Welser-Mertz has been here for over two decades and one of the foremost conductors in the world. And among many other achievements, yes, he is one of the very few conductors who have conducted the Vienna Philharmonic's New Year's Eve concert and one of the even fewer conductors who's conducted more than once that concert. We don't like to share him too much, but with the Vienna Phil, it's okay. Yeah. So he's, you know, he's done an incredible job here and very, very fortunate to have him in Cleveland. We ended the season with the second edition of our new Mandel Opera and Humanities Festival, something that we launched the year before. We've been doing an opera presentation every year here for many years, but we now have this substantial festival around it that includes lectures and collaboration with other institutions. And Franz Welser-Mertz chose the Magic Flute, Mozart's The Magic Flute, as the opera, which we fully staged, directed by Nicolas Habian, a wonderful young Austrian director. So it was really outstanding. Four completely sold-out performances in addition to the other events. So that was a great way to end the season.
So as you look forward to next year, I mean, obviously that was an incredible opening and you have, I think, one of the great conductors in the world. We're definitely into post-pandemic world, but we're also into a world that I think all markets are trying to think of new ways to include new audiences and expand and evolve. So you must be thinking about that too.
Absolutely. And as I said, last year was an important one, you know. We felt that audiences were back, especially in the second half of the season. You know, interesting kind of fact, we had the most the greatest number of sold out performances, the second greatest number over the past 10 years. Fast forward to our 24-25 season, we will end that season with, again, another Opera and Humanities Festival, this time centered around Janáček's opera, Yenufa. That's next year's opera. But besides that, Mark, we have really an incredible season. I encourage you and your listeners to have a look at the entire season. I would point out to a few concerts. Hans and Igor Levit, arguably the foremost Beethoven interpreter of the moment, are performing the entire Beethoven concerto cycle.
Wow.
So that's in November, November 6th to 17th. So that's worth the drive from Toronto to Cleveland. It's a quick drive.
Yeah, it is.
It's simply amazing. And he and Franz have become close collaborators and good friends. So that's one of the offerings next year. And then perhaps the last one I would mention in March with Franz Welser-Mürz again on the podium, and Asmik Grigorian, an incredible soprano that is really the darling of European audiences, made her Met debut this past season. She's coming with an incredible program with Franz, including Strauss' four last songs. We're taking that program to Carnegie Hall just a few days later.
Wow.
So if you can't hear it in New York, or even if you can, you probably should come to Cleveland to hear it here at Severance first.
Andre, you've made me jealous with your incredible programming. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And again, we look forward to seeing audiences from Toronto. You know, as a Canadian myself, I take great pride when we have fellow Canadians in the hall.
It is just a pleasure to speak with you, and fascinating to hear about the legacy of this great, great orchestra. And by everything you've told us about next season, this legacy continues. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
President and CEO of the Cleveland Orchestra, Quebec's André Grémier. Great to speak with him. Have a look at the website, clevelandorchestra.com, for info and tickets to the 2024-25 season and some wonderful concerts planned, as we just heard. So how about winning a Cleveland experience? A brilliant stay with a hotel, tickets to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, museum and gallery passes, and more. To enter, simply send me a note to our email address, oasis@classicalfm.ca. Let us know you would like to experience Cleveland in 2024, and we'll put you in the draw at the end of the week. And it is Cleveland week here on the Oasis, so the Cleveland Orchestra, of course, in performance.